And good morning, and welcome to the KRFY Morning Show for this rainy Wednesday, February 7th. I'm your host today, Chris Bessler. I'm here with a co-host.
And I'm Susie Prez, Chris's co-host.
How you doing, Susie?
I'm doing great. It's really kind of fun standing over on this side of the board today.
Yeah, I'm running the soundboard, so all the mistakes that people hear will be totally on me today.
It's your fault.
Yeah. And we have a great show. We have actually two different segments today. First up, though, we're going to be talking with?
Well, we're going to be talking with Jennifer Grieve, principal at the Forest Bird Charter School. Mary Jensen, administrator, high school principal. I guess you're all share the jobs, is yes. What I hear. Good morning, Mary and Jennifer.
Good morning. Good morning.
And we also have Jim Zubenbühler. He's the board chair from the board of directors of the Forest Bird Charter School. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Susie. Good morning, Chris.
And we're very fortunate to have two students here from the charter school. One is Callie Icalucci from, did I say that right?
Icalucci
from an eighth grade student that comes all the way here from Bonner's Ferry every day. Good morning, Callie.
Good morning.
It's very nice to have you here. And Leah Roth, your 12th grader at the Forest Bird.
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we have a full house here in the studio. We have a small studio, so folks are standing and sharing microphones.
And smiling,
yeah. And we're all in it together. And we're going to be talking with them shortly. But first, let's hear the weather. And guess what we're going to have, Susie?
Is it rain?
Yeah.
Snow?
Yeah, it's pretty easy guess, huh? So the highs today and tomorrow are just going to be mid-40s. The lows are going to be, low tonight's only going to get down to 37. Low tomorrow, though, is going to drop down to 24. We're going to see rain today. Rain's likely tomorrow. Tomorrow night, Thursday night, as we get down to that lower temperature, it's going to turn to snow. Friday, we're looking at a chance of snow. Probably not a lot of snow, but it's going to be maybe a little bit of snow for our skiers up there. And then on Saturday, they're saying sun. So there we go.
There you go.
Could have a beautiful weekend.
Yep. I do want to let our listeners know that we have a second guest coming in later in the hour. That's Barb Nunke. She's from a nonprofit group called Taking Time. And she'll be talking about her organization and also an upcoming fundraiser on Thursday night with a group called The Lowest Pair.
Yeah.
So we'll hear a little bit of their music, too.
Yeah, we'll actually hear a song by The Lowest Pair. Other things going on outside. Sunrise this morning was at 7:07 a.m. The sunset tonight will be at 4:53 p.m. Our days are getting longer. Guess how much daylight we've gained per day in the last week?
10 minutes.
21 minutes.
Yay! Yeah, we're all happy about that. Everyone's cheering in here.
So we're barreling towards spring now. If you look up in the sky tonight and you did catch a break in the clouds, you'd see the last quarter moon. Friday, you'll see the moon passing by Mars. So get a little bit of a break. Be some celestial events happening. And what else is going on around town, Susie?
Well, I just want folks to know that tonight at 6 o'clock here at KRFY, we're having a volunteer orientation and broadcast training. It's a two-hour program. And if you're out there listening and you'd like to become involved here at KRFY, our community radio station, just give us a call, 208-265-2992. And you can join the fun tonight and find out about the radio station and a little bit about broadcasting, the first step anyways.
Yeah. And of course, there's a lot of other things going on around town. One of the big events this weekend for the POAC Performing Arts Series is going to be the Montreal Guitar Trio. They're playing at the Panada on the 11th, which is actually that's Sunday. And they're playing in the performance series that POAC puts on. Really excellent performing arts. Other things going on around town. As usual, there's a ton. I thought I'd mention one thing, that the Hootenanny is happening tonight at City Beach Organics. Fiddlin' Red will be playing with Desiree. Have you ever been to the Hootenanny?
I did go to the Hootenanny, and if I wasn't doing the training tonight for the radio station, I'd be down there with my guitar playing some music.
That sounds pretty fun. Yeah. And of course, there's a lot of other things going on. You can check that out on our website at krfy.org or on sandpointonline.com, which compiles the calendars for us. And with that, let's get in with our guest today.
Okay.
Where to start, Susie?
Where to start? Well, I'd like to start with the students because you're very important to us as people in our community. So we'll start with Leah Roth. You're a 12th grader. And have you been at the Forest Bird Charter School the whole 4 years?
No, actually. I was homeschooled for up until last year, actually. And I started going to the charter school my junior year.
And what made you decide to go to the charter school? What about the charter school brought you in and said, I want to go here?
Well, even though movies aren't really accurate descriptions of real life, they seemed to accurately depict high school. So I was scared of going to high school, but the charter school isn't like a normal high school at all. So it seemed very open and inviting, and the teachers were really nice, and I wanted to go there.
So since you made that decision and you've been there for a year, is it true that it was different than what you thought and a little bit more welcoming? I mean, try to describe what
absolutely.
It's like to be there.
It's like a great big family. I know practically almost everybody there, and even teachers I've never had a class with, I'll still say hi to, and everybody is so nice. And I wish I've been there like my entire high school years, because that would have been awesome.
So everyone's so nice, but what about the academics as far as the learning? Because that's kind of why you're there, too. And is it different than just going to a class and sitting down and being given homework assignments and coming back and taking a test?
Oh, definitely. I think we, as a school, we kind of embrace the thought of project-based learning. And so even though it's not third trimester and we're not doing our third trimester project yet, we still do a lot of projects in the class, and the teachers are really engaging, and I'm hardly ever bored in class, and I absolutely love it. And if you want to have, like, harder classes, since we don't have AP classes there, you can dual enroll with NIC, which is currently what I'm doing for English. And so it's got a lot of great opportunities there.
How big do the classes run? How many kids are there in per class?
Generally between 12 and 20, I think. I don't usually count, but it's not like a giant classroom size usually.
So that's the way you get to know everybody so well.
Yeah. And we have like a small school, so there aren't too many people to get to know, but they're like really, really talkative and nice. And I love talking to both the teachers and the students. Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you don't feel isolated.
Not at all.
But brought into kind of a family atmosphere. So because of your homeschooling background, it was an easy transition, I'm guessing?
Oh, definitely, yes. I think it was like the best choice for me education-wise at this point. I love it there.
So was it difficult coming from the homeschool situation into the bigger social milieu, if you will, of a regular school?
Well, when it comes to like credits and graduating and how many things I need on my transcript to graduate, that was a little more difficult because I had credits I didn't even know I had to get, like speech and world literature. So I have to kind of double up on my course load this senior year so I can graduate. But I think knowledge-wise, I wasn't behind or anything, behind everyone else after homeschooling. I was actually pretty well prepared for academia outside of my own home. Mm-hmm.
And what's the plan after high school?
Probably take a gap year and work to save up for a college tuition so I don't have to take out any student loans. And then from there, I can decide where I want to go to college, if I want to go to college, and not have to worry too much about finances.
I'm going to give you some advice. Free. It's free advice, so it's worth it.
What's your advice?
Hey, go to an in-state institution where the tuition is a ton lower, because you don't have to take on that huge financial burden that kids do take on when they go out of state. And we have some good colleges in Idaho. There you go. Free advice.
Even local community colleges.
Yeah.
So much to offer. Well, let's move on to Callie Iacolucci. I said it right this time. You're an eighth grader, and you come all the way from Bonner's Ferry So this is your first year at the Forest M Charter School?
No, this is actually my third year. Oh, okay. I've been here since sixth grade. So it's been a wild ride.
So a big question for you is, what makes it worthwhile to go all that, come all that way from Bonner's Ferry? What about the Forest M Bird Charter School is motivating you to do that?
So the biggest thing for me is mostly the hands-on learning that we do. So we do units in class based around projects that we put up in the school, and that we make artwork, and we put it into a big project that we use and we display in the school. And so it sticks easier in my brain to remember what we did and how we did it if we put it into something that you can see.
So who motivates you to get involved into a project? Is it the students, the teachers? Is it just the way the curriculum is delivered?
It's really everything, in my opinion, because a lot of the schools that I am surrounded by are not, in my opinion, as worthwhile as the charter school is, because a lot of the schools are filled with kids who don't want to learn, and they're just there because they have to be. And they get in a lot of trouble because they don't feel like going. They just don't want to be there. And so in the charter school, you see a lot of the kids who want to be there and they want to learn. And so that really motivates me, because you can ask anyone for help and they'll join you in a group project, or they'll just help you figure out something that you're confused about.
So if someone asked you or told you, I'm thinking about going to the charter school, what about it? Should I go? Is it a good thing? What would you say?
I would say that it really is a good thing, because if you really want to learn, there is everything that you need at this school to help you with that in any aspect, whether you want art, whether you want sports, if you want mathematics, there's every kind of teacher there that will be willing to help you. And everything that we do is based around the welfare of the students.
Kelly, what are the classes that you really like the most?
I really like music classes. So we have an awesome rock band teacher who is out this trimester because he's finishing up college classes, which is really sad. But so we have a big, wide array of instruments. So not just the brass and wind instruments that they have at normal schools. We have electric guitars, and we have drum sets, and we have bass guitars and violins, and pretty much any musical instrument you can think of, he has his hands on.
Are there activities that you're involved in, extracurricular activities?
So there are activities that I'm involved in. I do gymnastics, and I know that a lot of kids have trouble with sports like that, and so that's one reason why they want to leave the school. But in my opinion, we have alliances with the other schools around us that you can join their sports teams and you can participate on those sports teams and still go to our school.
And there are kids that do that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Good. So do you have advice to any other eighth graders or out there, or sixth graders or high school kids about choosing the charter school?
So my advice would really be, what do you want to get out of life? Because if you have a plan, or even if you don't have a plan, this is a great way to get a plan or to continue on with that plan. And so if you want to go to college, this is a great way. We have a program that's called 8 and 6, I believe.
Advanced Opportunities.
So you can get your AA degree in college right out of high school. So you already get 2 years of college when you graduate from high school.
That's great. Well, let's back up a little bit and bring in Jim Zuberbühler. Jim Z, you're the chair of the board for the charter school. Tell us what's the mission of the charter school?
Well, I think that when I'm asked that question, I think really when the parents got together to start the charter school now 17 years ago, gosh, it was really to provide a different opportunity for local families. And so that group of parents, which started it, which is a steep hill to start a charter school. I mean, that's really a big challenge. And I think many of those parents look back and ask, oh my goodness, you know, how did we pull that off? But there was a great interest in the project-based learning idea, which has been talked about by the students this morning. And I think that was really probably the key piece of that, Chris, that's what people wanted to do. And they wanted to provide an alternative to our traditional middle school and high school model in this community. And I think that's really come to pass. And what's great for me in my governance role is to look at the relationships that we now have with the, because we are a public school, you know, charter school is a public school, but we look at the relationships we have with Sandpoint Middle School, Sandpoint High School, Clark Fork School, the alternative school. We have great relationships, and we look at what's happening with project-based learning, the ELP programs, and we see this really as, I think we've provided a great model for public education in North Idaho. I think that's evidenced by students like Callie coming from a great distance to participate in our programs. So I think that's been just a tremendous thing for parents to have that school choice.
The choice. And all kids learn in different ways. So giving that opportunity for them to learn this way is important for keeping some kids really engaged in school.
I think so. And, you know, if you look at it demographically, you know, we don't look very different from the other schools in terms of our student body. I think the students are correct in that there is some self-selection that happens with students who elect to go to the charter school. I think that culturally we feel different than other schools. But where there is, you know, when we do have a process where students come to the school, but it's not an application process like that you would have at a private school. It's an open enrollment process. So, any student is eligible to come to the schools.
Mm-hmm. Let's bring in Jennifer, the middle school principal. Jennifer, have you taught in traditional or worked in traditional schools as well?
I actually haven't. I've predominantly worked in boarding school settings and then with the charter school. But my little caveat is that my father was a traditional public school teacher, principal, curriculum director, and superintendent. And my brother works for one of the public schools in Spokane. So I've been around traditionals all my life.
So how would you characterize the difference between the middle school that you're the charter middle school and traditional schools?
I think the biggest thing for whether it's our middle school or our high school students is this idea that we have a little bit of freedom in the choice of numbers of students, you know, how many kids that we have in our buildings, not which kinds of students, just an actual number. And then the methodology in which we teach, that is probably the number one thing that's going to be different. Our teachers spend a great deal of time creating their own curriculum to match this project-based mentality, and then have taken it into completely new and different turns that surprises, I think, Mary and I each time that they come up with a new idea. It's phenomenal what they create for the kids.
And with these project-based ideas, the teachers actually get to come up with themselves. Mm-hmm. All of the curriculum needs are in that project.
Right.
So if it's a math block that they're in, so is it done with blocks? So if it's a math block, it would be math-oriented project?
Yeah, so what happens for the teachers, we are on a block schedule. So their courses, they have 4 classes a day, 94 minutes apiece, and then a second set of 4 the next day. And so what the teachers do within that time period, they do what's called front-loading. They give information, whether it's a lecture, whether it's a lesson in that math concept, whether it's information in this science concept, and then they set the kids to task on the first levels of a project, and then it grows from there. One of our middle school science teachers right now is experimenting with completely student-driven. She has laid out the coursework for a 2-month time period, and the kids are self-pacing, and they're going through the work at their own pace, at their own choice, and matching as they go through each of the standards all the way through for those 2 months. And the kids love it. My daughter's one of the 7th graders, and it's her favorite class right now because she has that freedom of choice, and she can work at the pace she wants, and then she can stop and help kids that need a little extra help.
And how do you judge or guide or find out how the students are doing with this method of teaching?
With the project-based methodology? Mm-hmm. I mean, with all education, you still have grades attached to assignments. You still have points attached to assignments. The points are going to vary based on, you know, how big the assignment is and how small it is. You're going to still teach with those methodologies of grading, as well as the standards in mind that the state is giving you to proceed with. It's just the delivery and the products that the kids are coming out of. They have more freedom and some of the choice around it, and there's going to be times where they're... We call it controlled chaos. I mean, it looks chaotic sometimes, but really what's happening is the kids are taking on and owning the lesson that's going on versus the teacher standing up and being the old sage on the stage kind of mentality.
Well, let's hear from Mary, the charter school principal.
Hi.
High school principal. So what's your background? How did you come into the charter school?
Well, I've been in education for 23 years. I have done 14 years of teaching in traditional schools in Montana, moved here to Sandpoint. Jobs were a little scarce, and the charter school asked for my advice because they were opening up a high school. I, at the time, had no idea what a charter school is. They're not legal in Montana, and so it was a learning curve for me to find out about the laws and how charter schools work. And now that I've been at the charter school for 8 years, I find that I prefer, I prefer our school because every charter has a different philosophy. And I just really prefer where I am to the traditional schools I had taught in previously in Montana.
Well, it seems like both of you are very enthusiastic about what you're doing. And I'm sure it's evolved quite a bit through your kind of partnership. Mm-hmm. But I'll ask the same question that we ask the students. What motivates you? How could you say a couple special things about it that really stand out, that make you just go, oh, I can't wait to go to work today?
Oh, for me, it's the students. Hands down, I love seeing the students. They are enthusiastic, happy people, respectful, and they just take learning above and beyond than I have seen anywhere else. I'm biased a little bit too, because I do love our students so much. And then secondly, the staff I work with, they're some of the most brilliant people that I have ever worked with. And that amazes me because they don't get paid much, mm-mm, yet they give 200%, and a math teacher will tell me there's no such thing, but they will give 200% towards educating the kids, but not only educating them, looking out for their welfare. They do phone calls home if they're not, if a kid's sick, to make sure they're okay. We have teachers who will do home visits to talk to parents if the parents can't come to the school. They have the students and the families' well-being foremost in their mind before even the education.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny for me, as the girls were talking, I have to admit, I got a little verklempt sitting here listening to them and going, oh my gosh, we are doing what we set mm-hmm. out to do because it is all for them. I'm with Mary, with our teachers. I will fight for anything for our teachers if we can, because what they create is just amazing. And another piece for me are our families. When you have a parent or a grandparent who walks in the door and says, thank you, mm-hmm. or says, my kid would not be doing school or would not be in school if it wasn't for you guys, or says, I love walking in the door and feeling welcome and feeling a part of this. That is gold to me because it is such a team effort in raising all of our kids.
Hey, I want to ask you, principal, something. Going back to my days and the way I remember my principals in high school and junior high, they were like the disciplinarians. Mm-hmm. And this was back in the day when you could still use a paddle on kids.
My dad did that. That was his job.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. There were a couple of teachers you did not want to get paddled by. Mm-hmm. I know this as a fact. but do you face any kind of different discipline issues with, and this is an age group where kids can get, you know, they can need discipline sometimes. Is there anything different about the way charter school deals with discipline issues?
I'll be honest and say that I don't want to speak about what's different because I'm not really sure how traditional sometimes handle certain discipline issues. Mm-hmm. I think for Mary and I, one of the things that we try to do is we talk a lot about each of our students as an individual, and that sometimes those choices that they make that got them in trouble come from a variety of places. And so looking at each instance that a child gets in trouble and trying to approach it with humanity and sometimes with a little humor and a notice that you care about them, you're going to hold them accountable and you have a firm line and they understand why you have that line, but you're going to treat them as a person and a human being within that and create a consequence. And we have parents that we create consequences with. Look, this is what we think we should do. Parent will say, well, can't you do more? Well, no. But to create whatever that consequence is, whether it's an in-school suspension, whether it's the joy of sitting next to Mary or I and doing your classwork for a little while, whether it's...
It sounds like joy.
Some of them think it is.
Some of them don't really care for that.
So we try to approach it in each of those ways, individual to the student.
And how about parents? Back in the day, you know, if you got in trouble at school, you got in more trouble when you got home. Mm-hmm. Is that still a factor? Do parents help with discipline? Or I know sometimes parents can push back against it.
You know, I don't think either one of us have really experienced pushback from parents because we keep them so much into the conversation. We let them know right away. Going back to what I said with knowing our parents is gold, we know who they are. We know their names. They walk in the door. We talk to them about weather or the Super Bowl or whatever event might be happening at the time. So we already have that relationship with them. Because we have that relationship, when we do the consequences, there's very little pushback, and they're just saying, what can we do to support?
It sounds like you've created a culture of caring where a student is no longer lost or is not allowed to be lost. Mm-hmm. And it sounds life-changing for not just the student, the opportunity to become who they are, but for the whole family to be in that culture.
Yeah.
I would hope so. That's our goal.
Yeah.
I would say, coming from traditional schools in Montana, we don't really have discipline issues if you compare one to the other. We don't have people fighting on campus. We do have the dress code issue is actually biggest one is that they need to take their jackets off. We do have drug dogs come through the school, and we do the checks, and we do occasionally find something on a student, but that is handled swiftly and appropriately through the board process, and that happens very, very rarely, but I'm not going to lie, right? It does happen on occasion.
Well, let's talk about enrollment, because I know that your enrollment opening is coming up, so tell us about that and what you're hoping for and what you're looking for.
Our open enrollment actually started February 1st, and it is open until March 28th. The part of the process that we really wanted to clarify with people, and I think Jim really hit on it, when we talk about come down and get an application, there's this belief that that means it's like a private school. You have to apply to be. And that's not really what happens. You just come down and fill out some paperwork for us so we have your student's name and where they came from. And what happens is because we limit our numbers, we only have so many what we call seats available in each grade level. It's people who want to come to the school. They come, they bring us this paperwork called an application. We put their child's name within that grade level. When we get to the closing period at March 28th, the very next day we sit down and we look at how many students do we have that want seats in that grade level. If, let's say, I have 10 seats available in seventh grade and I have 10 applications, those students are in, no questions asked, we move on, we start getting their information. If I have 11 students or more, though, all of those names by law literally go into a hat of some sort and we draw them out for the seats that we have available. And then we continue to draw names for our wait list. There's usually a lot of shifting for families and, you know, looking at choices. So you have students that get in and then decide in 3 months, no, we're going to do something else, which is fine. That's why we're in this business, is for that choice. So families can get online with the school's website and find the application online. They can come down to the school and pick one up. They can call for a tour. They can call to have a student shadow. The number at the school to call is 208-255-7771. And the man at our front desk there will make sure that you get to the right person to set up the shadow day or the tour for which grade level you're looking for.
I would really encourage prospective families to do just what Jennifer mentioned, and that is having your student spend a day at the school. So whatever grade you're considering this spring, have your son or daughter go spend a day and follow another student through their day, either in the middle school or the high school. It can be a transformative experience. And in fact, I would recommend doing that twice, because the first day it's all so new and different, and maybe schedule another day a few weeks later and then really soak that in. I think it's a very good way to get a sense for how the school is perhaps different and whether or not it's a good fit. So I'd really encourage families to do that.
Okay, well, we're going to be out of time in just a couple of minutes, but maybe we'll bring the students back onto the microphones here. Callie, middle school, you're 8th grade?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So what are some things you're really looking forward to for the rest of the year?
So I'm really looking forward to just finishing out the year. I know that a lot of us get a little bit entitled and egotistic as we get to the top of the middle school. And so it's going to be really humbling to go into high school next year and be the lowest again, because I've been through that. And so hopefully I know how to overcome it quicker this time and be more comfortable with it. So I'm really excited to finish out this at the top of the food chain year.
Yeah. Well, enjoy it. And Leah, so this is your last year before you're off into adulthood, right?
It is.
Yeah.
So it's like bittersweet.
Happy, yeah. Sad. So you got a lot to look forward to. What are some of the things for the end of the year that you're really are kind of high on your list?
Definitely prom, because okay. I love going to dances, and I think I'm really looking forward to the presentations for all the senior projects at the end of the year. Because I'm really looking forward to see what my fellow students have been doing with their senior projects, and that will be fun to watch.
Okay, great. Well, good luck to both of you. And any last words from Jim or Jennifer or Mary? Jennifer?
I just want to say, come on down. If you have questions about us, even if you have students that are outside, I mean, they're not at our grade level or beyond, just come down and talk with Mary and I and ask questions if you're curious. Door's open.
And that number again is 208-255-7771.
Yes, or find them online, Forest Bird Charter School. And with that, we're going to take a short musical break, and then we're going to bring in our second guest.
And her name is Barb Nunke, and she's with an organization called Taking Time. I can't wait to find out about that organization. And we're also going to find out about their upcoming Thursday night fundraiser at the Little Panda Theater. So stay with us.
Stay with us. We're going to hear a little bit of music here. But right now we're going to hear a song by Buddy Holly. And I picked this because he died 59 years ago this week in a plane crash. And this is his song, Not Fade Away. So stay with us. We'll be right back. And that was Buddy Holly, Not Fade Away.
And we are back live in the studio here for the morning show at 88.5 KRFY. And we have our second guest here. We have Barb Nunke. And good morning, Barb.
Good morning, Susie. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And it's a pleasure. You're with an organization called Taken Time. And we want to hear about the organization and also about your fundraiser that's coming up Thursday night at the Little Panada Theater. But let's start with, what is Taking Time?
Okay, Taking Time, we are a 501c3, a nonprofit. And what we are, our mission is to support quality live music and art, to make it accessible to those in the community who don't normally have access to it, and to help strengthen the community in the process. So a little bit on that, who we aim to bring music and art to are speaking to rural communities, families with small children, the elderly, those folks that aren't going to get in their car, drive into town. They can't or don't want to go into the bars. They can't afford the theaters. But that doesn't mean that they don't need quality live music and art in their life. So we bring it to them.
So you actually travel to somebody's home or to a neighborhood near them?
In the past, we originated in Minnesota. We had our own community music and arts center. We operated out of a farm in rural Minnesota. And then we also operate a immersion program where we bring our services to communities that can't come to us.
Yeah. And is this just a local group, or is it a regional, national?
Well, I suppose national. We started in Minnesota. We've got a really nice national following. We've relocated to Sandpoint. We have had land donated to us, as well as septic, water, and electrical hookups for which to build a community center on north of town. So we're pretty excited about that. So this will be our new home base.
So north of town, tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay, that'll be in the Upper Pack River Valley. We'll be about 2 miles further up the road from where Buck and Edna's used to be.
Okay. And yep. A lot of old timers will well remember Buck and Edna's.
A lot of people have Buck and Edna stories.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's very cool.
Everybody gets the same smile on their face when I mention it. So. Yeah.
Yeah. When you say art and music, I was just thinking, you build this center up there, you could have story times.
Oh,
and
yes.
Things like, so it's not just music. So what does art and music look like?
What does that look like? What we have, it's really limitless. Actually, this facility will be limitless in what we can do. We will, of course, host live music events. We have a music and art education program where we bring in mentors and hosts demonstrations and clinics. We've done harmonica clinics in the past, pottery exhibits, that type of thing, children's hands-on art exhibits. We do music and art fairs where we have interactive art displays, live music stages, that type of thing. Really, we gauge what we do by what the community wants.
So how did you come to relocate to Sandpoint from Minnesota?
Well, we've been part-time residents here for about 17 years, and we have a small cabin in the Upper Pack River Valley. And have just been dying to be full-time residents. So finally, 17 years later, we're here. And our board of directors in Minnesota voted that the nonprofit relocate with us, as it's kind of been our goal to branch out anyway. And why we chose the Upper Pack River Valley is the need. Because of the gap in that community after Buck and Edna's burned down, there's a lot of underserved people in that area. They don't come into town, but that doesn't mean that they don't need some place to gather, and they don't need exposure to some cultural things. So there's definitely a need that needs to be filled there. We have a very, very good old-time friend that owns a lot of land in that valley, and it's been his goal since Buck and Edna's burnt down to provide a community center for the area. Him and his wife grew up in that valley. His children grew up in that valley. So he really wants to see something to bring the community in that area together again. And he's been talking about it since I've known him. And now my nonprofit needs a home. So we're just kind of like a perfect fit.
You know, I can remember when Granges were... big community.
Granges were a thing.
They were a big thing, you know. Yeah. And these little rural communities, I don't know if there was one in the upper pack, but there were different Grange halls around, and they were little community gathering places. And I can remember going to a square dance at a Grange hall up in Bonner's Ferry many, many years ago. And that's kind of gotten lost over the years. There are still a few old Grange halls around, but it sounds like you're kind of recreating that model of a rural community center.
That's exactly what we're trying to recreate. Music, art, and a neutral gathering spot used to be a part of our culture, and we've lost that, you know. And I think it's really important to, especially these days, there's so much divisiveness and tension, I think.
Yeah,
really
no question.
Important.
Where you can find common ground, and we have so much more common ground than we have these political differences, if you get right down to it.
Exactly.
And doesn't music bring it all together?
Yeah, I would
it's
hope
a
so.
Common language of humanity is music and art too. Yeah. So.
And so you have an event coming up.
We do. So excited. So tomorrow night, it will be the Lowest Pair. They're a lovely duo out of Olympia, Washington. They've played at our venue in Minnesota in the past, and are kind enough to come and kick off our first in a series of concerts that we're hosting in town here to help bring awareness to what we're doing.
And we're going to hear a song by them in just a moment, but give us the stats, when and where are they playing?
They are playing at the Little Panetta Theater.
Okay.
And that will be tomorrow night. Doors open at 6. Music starts at 6:30. And all ages are welcome. Kids under 12 are free.
And the good news, another good news, is they will be here live in the studios of KRFY at 4 o'clock tomorrow for with their guitar, and I'm imagining clawhammer banjo in hand, to play some live music and give us a preview of the evening's event. So tune in at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon for a preview of the Lowest Pair for their evening performance at the Little Panetta Theater.
Yeah, and what you're trying to do is really exciting. If people want to find out more about your group, is there a website, or how would they do that?
Yep, absolutely. We are www.takentime.org. We're a .org, and we're also on Facebook. And
Taken is spelled.
It's like slang, T-A-K-I-N hyphen, although the URL, there's no hyphen.
Sure.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's takintime.org. So drop the G if you're spelling that out.
Yep.
You can probably find it if you Google it, because Google knows everything.
Uh-huh. It does.
The good news.
Yeah. So any last words? We'll play the song here. It will actually have a few minutes to come back and talk a little bit more about things that are going on around town. But Barb, do you have anything else you'd like to put out to folks?
Just that as far as the community center goes, we have an architect who's working with us. He's a wonderful man, Peter Keller from Fitzpatrick Keller, and he's helping us design this. I'll have an example of the first drawing of the community center at the concert tomorrow night for those that want to see it. And he is actually designing this community center around all donated materials. So our hope is that it will be a community center built by the community with materials donated by the community. So that would be quite lovely if every inch came from somebody different, and it could bring us all together in more ways than one.
And this project is underway right now.
It is underway. Yep. We're starting a major donation drive just right now. That's what tomorrow night kicks off.
Okay, that's the kickoff. And any idea how long it might take to accomplish the dream?
You know, I would love to say 2018.
Yeah.
You know, but we'll see. We'll see how how much support we get and how fast I can get this ball rolling. Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming in and telling us about that. And again, tune in at 4 o'clock tomorrow. And here's a little sample. What do you have pulled up from the Lowest Pair? Chris?
Okay, so this is called Mason's Trowel, and it's just a 2.5-minute song. It's by the group that we'll be playing tomorrow night. The Lowest Pair. So let's have a listen. And we'll be back after the song.
Thank you.
That was the lowest pair playing Mason's Trowel. And they're going to be playing tomorrow night live right here in town at the Little Panda Theater. It's a excellent benefit for this new group taking time. So we hope you can make that.
And they will, I'll say it again, will be here in the studios because I'm really excited. I love it when musicians come up to the studio with their instruments and play a few tunes and give us a little preview of the evening's performance that will be coming up. And that is the lowest pair. They'll be here at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. So tune in. And if you feel like it, come on up to the studios at 323 North First Avenue and hang out outside the door and you can hear them.
Yeah. We have windows.
We have windows.
And you can see them play in advance of the concert. But the main thing is get to the concert at the Little Panda. So, Susie, what else is going on? We also have something happening this very evening.
Yep.
Right here at KRFY.
That's right.
It's a volunteer orientation and broadcast training. That's from 6 to 8 p.m. And if you are a listener and you thought, hey, community radio is a pretty cool thing, this would be a good way to get to learn a little bit more about what it's about. We always need volunteers. This station runs on volunteer power. It's zero tax support. There's everything that happens here comes because the community is behind it, supporting it. We have underwriters that are hugely important. We always encourage people to listen for their underwriters when they're mentioned on the air, because those are the folks that are supporting the studio and the station. And if you support them, they can support us. And it's all part of the community.
And you can go to our website and see the list of our valued, essential, vital underwriters. And we're always interested in talking to someone about becoming an underwriter also. It's a great way to support a community radio station. It's a amazing thing. We have one here.
Yeah, and to tell you the truth, as a marketing thing as well, the people that do underwrite, most of them, almost all of them are businesses, they get a shout out every day over the radio. So, I mean, if you wanted to see it as a pure marketing expense, you could see that as well. But what it's about is supporting community radio. And of course, we accept donations from our listeners. So, listener, if you have a charitable impulse, you could go to our website, carefy.org, and you'll see a donate button right there on the right side. And you can make a donation. Donations are part of the fuel for this thing that keeps it going. Mm-hmm. If you can't donate, but you still want to help, we have the volunteer orientation and broadcast training. That's tonight, 6 to 8 p.m. here at the studio. We're at 323 North First Avenue.
But it would be a good idea to call and find out more, 208-265-2992. We'd love to have you. And if you just want to be a volunteer and not a broadcaster, that's fine. We have lots of fun things that we do. We try to make what we do here as fun as possible. More fun, as my son used to say. I want more fun.
It's surprising that it is so much fun just to sit around behind a microphone and talk. What is it about that, Susan?
I'm not sure, but every time a broadcaster comes out of the sound station here, the studio, I said, did you have fun? And all they did was sit there and talk about music a little bit. And they said, oh, there's so much fun. Yeah. But I think it's because you're really involved in music and that's great.
Yeah, puts you in a different zone or something.
And we like doing the morning show too, and I'm not sure why, but we've been doing it for how long, Chris?
For a little over three years now.
Yeah. Every single Wednesday morning. It's amazing.
It is kind of amazing, isn't it?
We just keep doing it.
speaking of the morning show, tomorrow, February 8th, hosts Jack Peterson and Jim Healy will be talking with Corey Holman from Mountain State Early Head Start. Be telling us about that worthwhile community endeavor. And you know what I like about Jack and Jim's morning show is they really do spin out some great music. Both of them are very knowledgeable about music, the genres. Jim is like a walking music encyclopedia. Is there a music encyclopedia?
Well, it's probably Jim, right?
I guess now you would say he's like a walking music Google.
Right.
Because Google took over encyclopedias.
He is also the host of the folk show every Thursday evening.
Yes. So. And Jim hosts
Jim.
Two shows.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jim. Yeah. But Jack hosts a local music show as well.
Mm-hmm. On Tuesday and Friday.
Tuesday and Friday, twice a week. So those guys know their music. As you mentioned, tomorrow afternoon, there's going to be an extra musical interview with the acclaimed musical duo Lowest Pair, who's playing at the Panada Little Theater the same night, tomorrow night. But they'll be live in the studio here with a guitar and a banjo. That's at 4 p.m. And then next week, we have morning shows coming up on Tuesday with our hosts, Phil and Carrie. They're going to be talking with Schweitzer and also Chamber of Commerce folks. So they're going to be talking Dick Krismer from Schweitzer, as well as Kate McAllister from the Chamber. They're going to be talking about the upcoming Sandpoint Winter Carnival, which kicks off next week, and it runs for 10 days. Lots of fun things happening with Winter Carnival this year, as always. Next Wednesday, Susie, you and I will be back here. We're going to be talking with Bob Over from the University of Idaho nonprofit program. And that's an interesting program that supports nonprofit organizations and gives them education and tools to succeed in their missions. So he'll have some interesting things to say. And we're going to have a second guest as well. It's Matt Nykiel from the Idaho Conservation League. And he's going to be talking about a pretty hot topic. That's the proposed silicon smelter in Newport, which actually is impacting us here because we are upstream of them, but we're downwind. So the smelter, of course, it does put out pollution. It can be controlled, possibly. There's a lot of factors. Of course, there's the economic side of it. It does bring jobs. So it's a big decision that's being made.
It's a full spectrum, and I think the most important thing, the thing we try to do here at our community radio station, 88.5 KRFY, is bring information and news and ideas that can help inform the listeners so that you have understanding of what are the issues background.
Yes. Yeah, that's our goal, is to be a fairly neutral place to get information. Of course, we do have guests that do have opinions on these things. But we try to balance it out and get all sides involved. We have invited folks from the smelter, the high test company. And over time, I'm sure that we're going to be hearing from folks that do as well support it, as well as those that oppose it, and get the broad spectrum of facts and opinion on it.
And I do know that the city is hosting a forum with a lot of the stakeholders about the smelter in Newport. And that's coming up. Just go to the city's website.
It's coming up on February 28th. And I don't know if any of the representatives from High Test have committed to that yet, but there's going to be a representative from the Washington Department of Environmental Quality is going to be attending that. And they'll be able to bring that perspective of what the official state of Washington position is on this. The smelter does have to go through a permitting process. It's just getting into now. And with that, Susie, what else?
Chris?
Any last words for us?
Well, we're just really happy that people tune in. And if you didn't get to hear the whole broadcast, you can go to our website, krfy.org. And there is a spot called Podcasts. We did record the interviews this morning. So you can go there and listen to the whole hour if you want to.
And something to remember is that if you're ever away from your radio or you're out of the area, that you can hear us online. We stream this broadcast over our website, krfy.org. You go there, you see a button on the right side that says live stream. Click on that. You could hear us from your phone or your tablet or your computer. So you can take us with you wherever you go. And with that, we're about out of time. We're going to go out now with a song by John Lennon. This is his song, Woman. We're playing it because this was a number one song in 1981. Interesting thing about that is that John Lennon actually died in that tragic shooting just a few months previously. And after his death, this was the third song from his last album that hit number one on the charts. So we're going to end with that. It's Woman by John Lennon. Have a great week.
Yeah, have a beautiful day. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, bye now.